when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear precious Blood River Radio supporters, Blood River Radio listeners, and our new ones, we had a couple of new ones this past month, and guess what? They're Yankees, folks, way north of Mason-Dixon line. But anyway, listen, we're getting ready to play this audio video about how precious and sweet and mild and understanding these blacks are in South Africa. The only difference between these feral black animals in South Africa and the feral black animals in South Memphis is about a 16-hour plane ride. That's about it. They're all the same damn people, and they want us dead. But anyway, we're going to play this clip. It's only 42 seconds. And our brother Rich Hamblin, veteran, Silver Star recipient at the Battle of Charlottesville, he's going to break it down. So anyway, we're going to see how this works. Hang on. Here we go, folks. Let's see. Here we go. This is Julius Malema, buddies. Let me go back just a second. Let me go back. Something went wrong. Hang on. Have patience, folks. Here we go.
Where were you when I'm Sofaskichi? The boy Sofaskichi. The Tati. Kichi. Zibram Konto. Alaye. Shoot to kill.
I'll tell you what, Rich, brother Rich, you break that down. If that doesn't raise a hair on your head, I don't know what the hell would. So, Rich, you break that down, and brother Ioannis, you can tell us if you understood what the hell they were saying. So, go ahead, guys.
Well, he was thinking in English, so I mean, if you hear a clear audio, you can understand it. And basically, he said he kill the boar, shoot the boar, kill the farmer, kill the boar, you know, and makes machine gun noises and all this kind of stuff. Julius Malema is kind of a minor political character in the landscape. He was at one time the head of the youth wing of the ANC, which is the ruling party that Mandela headed up, and he's kind of in the Jacob Zuma faction, who was, one of the corrupt presidents of South Africa, as if they all aren't just extremely corrupt. But I'd be interested in Johannes' take on this, because I think it's a little bit of a distraction to draw attention away from all the other crap that's going on between the South African government and the world. I think there were like 60,000 in the crowd there. Malema is not a Zulu, and he's not a, I'm not sure what tribe he is. I think it starts with a P. But what's your take on it, Johannes? I mean, it's very serious, because this is a song they used to sing during the quote unquote times of struggle, where they never struggled because they never won anything. But, nevertheless, they obtained victory.
Reading is a struggle. It's the only real struggle that they've ever had in this country. And anyway, so what's my take on it? It's going to be a little bit different to anything that I think you have heard from anybody from South Africa. What is Malema? Julius Malema is an immigrant from Zimbabwe. He has referred to himself as a Jew in a video clip. He said that he is a Jew. So I don't know how serious you should take what he says about that, you know. But he is from the Malemba tribe in Zimbabwe. Okay, so Julius Malema, as a political figure, yes, he started out as the ANC, as leader of the ANC Youth League, just like Nelson Mandela started out as leader of the ANC Youth League. Is it atrocious? Is it horrible to hear him sing "Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer"? Yes, yes, it is. Absolutely. It is atrocious because it is justified. It is justified by the white traders. It is justified by Jews. And that's the thing that we actually need to talk to. Why does Julius Malema sing "Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer"? Because I believe Julius Malema to be nothing other than a black reactionary to make sure that the blacks do not go and commit overt, outright, large-scale violence against the white people. Now, I know that that's going to sound absolutely crazy, but if you will entertain the idea, I would love to explain it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's sort of an outlet. It certainly fires up the people that went to his rally, you know, with all the red hats and everything. Julius is getting a little bit of age on him, isn't he? I mean, he's getting kind of pudgy, too. I noticed he has his shirt tail hanging out his pants to hide his belly. But, and as I said before, you know, just, a couple of days ago, the Constitutional Court, in response to a suit from, I don't know who it was, Afroform or somebody like that, ruled that, no, that song is... It's just a traditional song. It doesn't incite violence, and they're well within their rights to sing it, and you white people just don't pay attention to it. And just encouraging Julius to keep on doing what he's doing.
Well, yes, exactly. So the black people, you know, they were used and brought into South Africa as a means to undermine the white people of South Africa. So after the English came in here and they defeated us in the Anglo-Boer War, Alfred Milner is quoted as saying in 1902, "It is no longer a war with bullets, but it remains a war still." Now, Harry Oppenheimer, which is a Jew that owns the majority of, you know, is one of the wealthiest men in South Africa and part of one of the wealthiest families in South Africa. He said in Grahamstown University in 1971, on the 12th of, I think it was 12th November, I might be, you know, not 100% correct on the date there, but he said that we must, I do agree with Cecil John Rhodes that the Boers of South Africa must be exterminated if we are going to achieve our goals in the rest of the world, that they could never allow the Jews, could never allow a white nation to rule in South Africa. But they cannot attack the Boer people overtly. It must be done through a bloodless conquering. And that is why in 1992, I believe it was, the Nationalist Party, I believe, assassinated Chris Hani. And they assassinated Chris Hani to avert the war. They will say that Clive Darby Lewis and these people wanted to instigate the war. It is a lie. They wanted, with everything in their might, till this day, to avoid a war. Because a war with the white man in South Africa will, just as Blood River, be one-sided. These blacks cannot fight us. They know it. We know it, and therefore they must use clandestine means to undermine the political will of our people, to make sure that we do not fight back, to make sure that we sit back and wait. And whilst we wait, they slowly pick us off and peel away at our strength and at our capacity to fight back. Now, why does Julius Malema sing... Sorry?
they started that with the... assassination of Hendrik Verwoerd on the floor of Parliament. I mean, no, you know that, and I understand the killer just got recently released from prison. They said he was insane and all this kind of. I think he was a hired killer from the Anglo-American factions. And of course, they stuck Forster right in after that, and Forster started the decline of the South African state. And I talked to many people. You talk about, you know, the betrayal by the leadership and all that. I talked to many people in 1990, right before the transition of power, when the whites still had the army and still had the police forces. They were waiting the word, you know, at midnight or whatever, to start the action. I mean, I know one guy who had the chemicals to poison the water supply in a nearby town. You know, and there are still caches of arms secreted along the Orange River that are left over from that period.
Rich, my brother, we have to go to a quick break just in case you didn't hear me. That's very interesting. That's a take I never knew about. So people, hang on to your seats. We've got to go to a quick break. It's going to be about a 2.5-3 minute break. Get some coffee if you hurry. Be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, without further ado, I'm the least knowledgeable of anybody on this show. That's why I brought these people in, and I'm so glad they came in. God bless them. By the way, Sister Monica, my little sister, is the one who did all the legwork to set this interview up. Rich, our brother Rich, was listening to RBN and listening to Monica, a fan of Monica. We all are. We all love her. She is incredible. And she had Joanne's own. Rich sent me the clip, said, "Hey, you got to listen to this guy." And I said, "He's just another one of these peacenik Afrikaners." But when I listened to him and talked to him, I said, "My God, this guy, man, we are joined at the damn hip. He's a fire-breathing SOB like yours truly." So anyway, Sister Monica needs to get the credit for that. Sister Rich and Sister Monica. But Sister Monica has a question, and I'm bowing back out. The show belongs to them. I've dropped my napalm. That's all I want to do. Go ahead, Sister. Sister Monica. Sister Braveheart.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much, Eddie. And I am myself on a very, very steep learning curve. I was very ignorant, you know, until quite recently about truly, you know, what the history is in South Africa. And, you know, I talked with Johannes about that. So I won't go into that now, but I am grateful that I'm learning so much about South Africa now. But there was just one little story that you talked about. Well, it's this thing about Malema and his chanting, you know, kill the boar, and that Johannes, you have a different take on it, which I'm very very interested in just hearing the last bit that you wanted to explain about. And I have a feeling it was going to be about this is kind of like a valve, but like this is interesting that they actually don't want all an out war, because then, you know, there could be a repeat of Blood River, that war, which went very, very badly for the black people. And so they're doing it by stealth and, you know, gradual, slow war. But this chanting of kill the Boer, which just seems so horrendous and horrible. Please explain that, just the ending of that story that you were about to get to.
Thank you very much, Monica. And it's such a pleasure being be able to speak to you again. Like I said, I wish more young men had the moral conviction that you and your brother had or have. So why does Julius Malema sing the song Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer? I don't know if you guys are familiar with heavy metal. The music, heavy metal.
I am familiar with it, yes.
So, okay, no, there's a reason why, there's a method behind why I named this, you'll hear now. So, if you've ever seen metalheads, young men specifically that listen to metal, you will always hear that people say, these are the nicest people that you ever will meet in your life. They are so friendly, you know? Now, why is that? Because metal is something that your anger is channeled into. It's usually young white men that are angry at something. They listen to the metal as an outlet, and their anger is then channeled into that music, and then they don't express it in any other form, you see. Now, the same principle is valid here with the singing of the song Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer. The blacks want blood. They want an all-out war. They were promised revolution. They were promised bloodshed. But every leader that they've gotten since Chris Hani has cucked and has given them nothing. Now they get mad. And they get a leader like Julius Malema that is perpetually, you know, biding for power, or trying to get in power, but never actually does, because he is funded and he is owned by Jews like Rob Hershoff. Rob Hershoff, the Jew that flew him to meet Lord Robin Renwick in England, right? So he goes and he sings these songs, and all of that black rage is channeled into a meeting like that. But there's never an order that comes out from Malema. There's never any clear political will to exercise that which he preaches. He never practices that which he preaches. He's not a true revolutionary. He's an opportunist, you know, and he's there as a reactionary to make sure that the blacks cannot channel that anger that they have into a outright conflict. That's what
Thank
I believe.
Thank you. This makes so much sense. Oh my goodness,
yes,
but I had never thought of that, that this is basically a valve, and it serves the purpose of what you explained earlier, that they don't actually want this all out war to happen, because they will lose. They will lose. And instead, it's this long-term soft war, a soft kill, I guess you could say, kind of like is going on in Europe and in Canada, USA, and Australia, New Zealand. There isn't an all-out war with bombs and guns, but yet we are in a war. Absolutely, we
yes.
are in a war.
We are being, first and foremost, politically disarmed. We are being economically crushed. We are being physically killed, but not in a way that we are allowed to be perceived as the victim. Now, what will happen if Malema, if the blacks literally had a leader that went and enabled them to do violence on a mass scale, then the Jews will lose, because then the perception on South Africa that we are the evil we are the evil oppressors, and, you know, blacks are the victims, that would change overnight, and people would see, oh, wait a second, everything that we've heard from South Africa is a lie. And then a stage will be set for what happens in the rest of the world.
That's not something they can allow from a narrative point of view. So they need to curb the black anger, you know? And the same goes for South African politics. That's why you've got AfriForum now. AfriForum going to America. AfriForum that openly and denounces white nationalism is funded by Jews. I have Jews in their organization that say that they are a civil rights movement, just like Martin Luther King was in America, that they do not represent Afrikaners. They represent minorities, you know? So these are the people that are being shown to represent us. And at the same time, Julius Malema is sort of used to define... is this clever little trick that they do. They say it's ideology. Ideology is the problem, you know. It's not a racial thing. It's not black people aren't the problem in South Africa. It's actually just ideology and ideologues like Julius Malema or, you know, Johannes Achenbach. Johannes Achenbach is a radical. That's actually the problem. Radical politics is the problem. And ideology is the problem. That's what they do. And then if you listen to Julius Malema, what another clever little thing that they do with him is, he says nationalize the minds. He says a lot of things that, for instance, Adolf Hitler would have said. And then they sort of associate all the solutions, the things that we should actually do, with Julius Malema. And they say, Julius, you need to say these things because people think we have to understand how we think as humans. We think in terms of association. If we hear Julius Malema using the word justice, for instance, just a simple little, or water. Let's say Julius Malema, his word is water. Then people are going to start associating the word water with him. So now the solutions that he presents are often nationalist solutions. And then white people become disenfranchised, or they don't like the solutions that he's suggesting because they don't like him. Because he's saying, kill the white people.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
now,
my
this
goodness.
Guy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Carry on, please. I didn't mean to interrupt. So carry on.
So this guy, he's giving the solutions of the things that we should politically be pursuing. And then he at the same time says, kill the white people. And then white people start, and they fall into this trap where they say, no, we must fight for the free market. We must fight for capitalism. We must, you know, fight for a private sector economy. No, we must fight for a state. We need to have a state that safeguards nationalism. But the Jews don't want that. Because what if that state then decides that, hey, you know, this is an Afrikaner state, no Jews allowed, you know? So
This is so clever and evil. It's clever and evil, this strategy, what you just outlined. And something else that I find very interesting is your take, which is probably counterintuitive for many people, but the fact that Trump recently had said, we will give asylum and fast-track citizenship for any white South African people who come to America, and your take on it, it's not helpful. Can you please elaborate on that, please?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. So,
excellent point.
did you want to say something, sir?
Oh, no, I just said that's an excellent point. I'm okay. Listening and spellbound just like Monica.
Okay, amazing. So first and foremost, why must we not leave this country? This country was given to us by Almighty God. Are we going to spit in the face of Almighty God? Are we going to, denounce our very being? No. But why do they want us to pursue that? You will hear them continually. The other day I heard that we are 4.8 million Afrikaners in South Africa. And then they said that we are 3.7. Last week I was visiting with family. And on the television, what's her name? I forget. Her surname is Kurtz. I think it's Linda Kurtz from University of Bloemfontein. She said we're actually only 2.7 million. Now, why do they continually give the impression that we are so few? Because they want us to leave. We are
a
problem for
them. We have to go to a quick break. Folks, it'll be about a 5-minute break. You got plenty of time to use the bathroom, get coffee, whatever. But just be back in 5 minutes. Okay, folks? See you in 5 minutes.
Yeah. How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. It is deaths and destruction in Southeast Asia.
Dozens of patients lined up in beds or seated on the ground outside a damaged hospital in Myanmar's capital following Friday's devastating 7.7 magnitude earthquake. The country's ruling military says on state TV the confirmed death toll is now past 1,600, but rescue workers are pulling more bodies out of the rubble. In neighboring Thailand, authorities in Bangkok say the number of confirmed dead is at least 10, but dozens of people are still unaccounted for. I'm Donna Warder.
And the latest figures coming out of Myanmar now say more than 1,600 people are dead, some 3,500 injured. Also at townhall.com, President Trump has withdrawn the nomination of New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik to be the next ambassador to the United Nations. Why? Well, to help maintain the GOP majority in the House. On the Salem News program this week on Capitol Hill with Tony Perkins, House Speaker Mike Johnson had nothing but praise for the New York lawmaker.
She would have been an extraordinary ambassador to the UN. She would have done a great job there. But she's deeply devoted to her country, and she's fully committed to seeing the president's agenda succeed in Congress. And after much deliberation and discussion, the president talked with her about withdrawing the nomination so she could stay and help us lead in the House. And I'm telling you, it's a great credit to her. She agreed to do that.
Crowds protesting against Elon Musk, massing outside Tesla dealerships throughout the U.S. today. Demonstrators trying to escalate a movement targeting Tesla dealerships and vehicles in opposition to Musk's roles ahead of Doge. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's face it, the world is uncertain these days, but there's something reassuring about holding on to what lasts. The 2025 one-ounce gold eagle from the U.S. Mint, a symbol of American strength and an asset that stands the test of time. You can trust gold, and you can trust Global Coin. Call 833-SPOT-GOLD to secure this magnificent coin graded in pristine MS-70 condition for the dealer cost of $30.99. Free shipping, no sales tax. This is your chance to own a piece of history while building a foundation of enduring value. It gets even better. Global Coin is giving the first 100 callers a free MS-70 2025 Silver Eagle to complement your 1 ounce Gold Eagle. Two iconic coins, a symbol of prosperity and a testament to the enduring value of gold and silver. Global Coin backs every purchase with a 30-day return policy, ensuring your peace of mind. Visit globalcoindeal.com or call 833-SPOT-GOLD. No gimmicks, incredible coins at incredible prices. Again, that's 833-SPOT-GOLD.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Harjin site in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian Brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is, I've been spellbound listening to so many things I didn't know, but I'm just going to kick in here. Rich says something early on in an interview he talked about, and I was really surprised. I knew there were normies in South Africa. He named about a part of South Africa with a lot of normies. For the life of me, I cannot understand how you could be a white normie in South Africa. Also, our brother Joanne said that what we see in South Africa, we said this before, is coming here to the United States. I'd like to ask Rich to take off on that. Rich, you, if you will, Joanne's, compare what's happened in South Africa, and I think we're close to it here already, and see how far along we are here in the United States, and just expand on that. Take off on that, Rich.
Well, yeah, I think that what's happening here, and as in South Africa, is that the government is basically waging war on white people. And it ebbs and flows. Right now it's kind of ebbing a little bit, and you're seeing this insane reaction of the white population, the white middle class, to Trump. I mean, the recruiting lists are being filled for the military and
yes,
and so on and so forth, and everybody's getting rabid about going to attack Iran. But at the same time, you know, the FBI dropped all their deportation investigations, which was a centerpiece of Trump's, campaign, to concentrate on anti-Semitism. So
yes,
it's insane. And of course, the people they're saying anybody that speaks against Zionism or against Israel is an anti-Semite. And you've got 26, 27 states in the United States now that have passed laws defining anti-Semitism as, according to the IHRA, the International Holocaust Remembrance Association's definition of an anti-Semite. And I mean, you've got to, if you do work for the government, you've got to sign a pledge that you won't participate in any boycott, divest, and sanction movements. I mean, it's crazy, and people are getting fired over that too. And they're going after right now, they're going after people that are here legally on green cards and throwing them out for criticizing Israel. And when they're done with all of them, they're going to go after you and me, Eddie. I mean, that's pretty much it.
You got
it.
That right. And Rich, I got to ask you another question. I mean, so, Rich, when you get through this, I'm on fire, so I know y'all are. Rich, is there any way to turn these son of bitches around that they're tearing the recruiting office doors down, signing off the military? You said that they want to go fight anybody that the Jews don't like. Is there any way we can turn that around? Go ahead, Rich.
I don't really know. I mean, that's going to be like a, you know, fathers need to speak to their sons. It's a question that I've pondered over many times. But back in South Africa, when I was down there for the 120th anniversary of the commencement of the Boer War, they had dedicated a small museum in on the grounds at Bloemfontein for the Battle of Paardeberg. And the reason is that they had a museum up on the actual site of the battle, which is north of there. And it had been vandalized so much over the years that there was nothing left. So instead of, taking steps to ensure the safety of the location up there, they just pulled up stock and moved the museum down to the grounds of the museum. Same thing with, I think it was a statue of President Steyn that was on the campus of the Orange Free State University, which he helped found, by the way, and the politically correct people demanded that it be dismantled, and I think it was going to be reassembled there on the grounds of the War Museum. And my question was, okay, that's well and good. You're taking these monuments away from where they should be. What's going to happen when they come for the Anglo-Boer War Museum? You know, and it's the same thing that's happening here with Confederate monuments, et cetera, and things are being desecrated. I mean, it's we're on the same slippery slope, and what it is it's a new form of Bolshevism. You know, you can talk about the National Democratic Plan if you want to, Johannes, but that, you know, people here have no idea, and people here are just too, I don't know, they're too stupefied or they're too drugged out to pay attention to what's going on. And my big question is, from the period of 1989 till 92, what happened to the white South Africans? In 89, they had probably the strongest army on the African continent and probably the best military. I mean, I would put them up against the U.S. Army, to be truthful. And all of a sudden, it's just gone to crap. And they lost their nerve, right? And, you know, it's mystifying to me. I'm sure you've thought about it a lot, Johannes.
Oh, absolutely, sir. That's actually a great question. So the Afrikaner people are still alive and well. It's it is the leadership that brings out the spirit of the people or kills the spirit of the people.
Yeah.
And after Hendrik Verwoerd, every single leader has sought to kill the spirit of the Afrikaner people. But be very sure that it lies in wait. It's a small flame. It flickers, but it can be lit. It still can be lit. We just need the right leader to rekindle that fire of nationalism. And then you will see that great people return again. But they don't want that. They don't want that for America. They don't want that for the Afrikaner people because they hate nationalism. The Jew hates nationalism because he belongs to no nation of his own. Israel is a collection, or the genetics of Israel is a collection. It's a bastard mutt. They hate racial purity because they can never aspire to it. They can never have it, you know. So that's why they hate it. That's why they want to destroy it. But it is still there.
I think you're right. I think it's lying under the surface. I was amazed that there are a lot of, among the history group, the historians and stuff, there's a lot of affinity for the Third Reich.
Oh, yes.
I mean, a whole lot.
You got that right.
They will say that they're not Nazis, blah, 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 but they love Adolf Hitler. And also they'll say, you know, what we need in South Africa is we need Adolf Hitler. But I want to tell you, you mentioned President M.K. Steyn. So just to mention a little bit about how, what the kind of leadership we had, you know, back in the day as opposed to now. So M.K. Steyn had helped found the Free State University. He was a great man, a very great man, M.K. Steyn. So here's a quote from him. On 27 February 1900, let the white race obey the command, go forth and multiply by keeping our blood pure. And pure, by keeping our blood pure, sorry, and yeah, rain, yeah, pure is rain and savor and clean, by keeping our blood pure and clean, and our arms strong through honest labor, we will again be able to answer our higher calling. Especially unity is needed. Be then calm and peaceful in your determination. We are heirs under God's rule of the civilization since centuries ago. The Kafir is only now beginning to touch the beauties of civilization. You know, so that is the thing that is the kind of leaders that we had. He also said many other things that, but I don't want to make that about or the show about that. But the point being is these people were willing to speak about race. They were willing to speak about a higher calling to race. And that's why, you know, they were willing to fight for it. So if we want to turn around anything, we must not listen. We must start by disregarding any politician, any leader locally, grassroots, doesn't matter. If he doesn't say, I stand unashamedly for white people, then tell him, you know, go to hell. Go to hell. I don't want to hear anything you say. Go to hell.
Yeah, I want to point out, you know, that in Trump's executive order about the refugee status for Afrikaans speakers, he didn't say white farmers. In no word, I don't think he's ever let the word white slip from his lips. I mean, he thanked everybody and his brother who voted for him, but he hadn't thanked the white working class. I mean, he's just it's a mystifying, but it's not mystifying because he knows who his paymasters are. Here's a question I got for you: within the individual families at home, I'm sure the education system is trying to eradicate Afrikaner history, and they want to destroy all the traditions. I know all of the Huguenot Museum over there in
Confederate history.
That we visited, they had, you know, notable in Franschhoek. They had notable characters, you know, on the international stage who were descended from the Huguenots, and they had Charlize Theron's name up there. I told the curator there, the guy at the counter, I said, you shouldn't have her name up there. You need to put Danny Theron's name up there.
We got to go to our last break of the second hour, y'all. Be right back, folks. This is one hell of a program, I'm telling you. Be right back, people.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is just the most, I don't even know where to start. People like Rich and Johans, I mean, especially Rich, I knew he had incredible knowledge, but it's even more than I thought. But anyway, he's our resident intellectual. He's also our fact checker. We're going to spring on Ola. I hope Gene's not listening right now, because we're going to spring the fact checker on Gene on third hour for a second. Rich is going to tell him how wrong he's been. And we'll say Rich is a professor of Confederate history from Brown University or something, you know, or University of Chicago. But anyway, continue on, Rich. You've been ram-robbing, and before the hour's over, Sister Monica, save up any questions you have. But before y'all go, I want to ask y'all a question about, I'd like to have a series about German history, just like we have third hour is just about always Confederate history hour. I'd like to have a series once a month about German history, especially concentrated First World War, Second World War, and our German brothers, our Waffen-SS brothers, our Wehrmacht brothers. But go ahead, Rich.
Oh, yeah, Johannes, I don't know where we left off, but it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I really want to stay in contact with you and tell you a little bit more about my studies up here tell us how we can help your organization.
Yes,
tell the audience
yes.
How we can help.
How you could help. Okay, so I would love to do a documentary on South Africa, but we do not have the means to do that. But I want to show people a different angle to South Africa. I don't want to show them this whole, you know, we're defeated, there's nothing we can do, run to Iran,
yeah.
Run
no
to America.
Pity party.
No pity parties. I want to show them who the Afrikaner people are so that they can once again know who they are. So if you know people that could help with a project like that, you know, and get us into contact, that would be good. But how do you help? I believe that right now, spreading awareness of what is really happening in South Africa, bringing awareness to the racial aspect of South Africa is actually, unironically, you know, it could be one of my friends one day made a comment. He said, I wish that I had a shipping container with 3,000 AKs. And I said, what do you want to do with that? And I asked him, who are you going to give it to? And then he looked at me and you see, he never thought about this, because the first guy that you're going to give it to is going to feel so intimidated, because right now our people stand as individuals against a collective onslaught. Our enemies are battle ready. They have collectivized. They've got the political will, which they overtly and outrightly express, kill the white man. You know, their methodology is one that they don't go into action, they do it slowly with black economic empowerment, expropriation without compensation, and etc. But they've got a clear intent, they've got a clear political will. How do we combat that? We can't combat that as individuals. We now need to form a political movement or a political will to unify our people behind a message that says South Africa is for the white man. So I would say the most that you can help South Africa is not to say, you know, let's save the white farmers, let's send the money. Money is great, you know, money is great, but it's also, it's the thing with, there's a lot of white people that are impoverished and live in squatter camps. And a lot of people think that the solution would be to take them food parcels. And there's farm attacks in South Africa. So a lot of people think that the solution is to build security structures to defend the farmers. Those are not solutions. That's symptomatic combating of the problem. The solution to white poverty is white people having their own country. The solution
Bingo.
To fighting farm attacks is white people having their own country. We can have an entire military defending farmers against farm attacks. If there's a multiracial society, farmers will still be attacked, even if we have the military that combats it. We cannot share a country with blacks. And that's the message that we need to push. We need to push the message in America.
Amen.
South Africa for the white man. No apologies. There's no reason why the Afrikaners should be ashamed for saying that. The people that counter-signal that should be shamed. They should be shunned. So I think that's how we help, my people. You know, getting the people that are willing to say these kind of things, on platforming them, giving them a stage. You know, enabling us to enable our people. I know that sounds like maybe a silly answer. I don't know, but that's what I think. You know, I think before we do anything material, before this, is it metastasizes into a material form? It needs to first be solidified in a spiritual form. And that spiritual form is a future for white people and communicating that. And then it can metastasize into tangible solutions, you know? I'm sure you understand what I'm saying.
So, 100%.
Yeah, something that is so important to build the awareness of the history of South Africa. I mean, just the other day, I'm having a conversation in the post office with somebody, and somehow we got onto South Africa, and you know, the farm murders and the brutality and this and that. And he had this attitude that just left me cold as ice, because he said, well, you know, the white people have been, I guess they have it coming to them, because most people have no idea. And I didn't until just a few years ago. I didn't have any idea that South Africa was white. I just always thought Africa is just all black, because that's what we learned in school. And so I think that awareness is super important to then, you know, underpin your message, Johannes, what you were just saying, that yes, like Africa for white people. This is such a new idea for so many people around the world, because we've all been lied to. And I would think that if you have these so-called normies in South Africa, like white liberals, I guess you could say, who they must be that way because of false schooling, would you say? Like, I mean, the schooling there, I think we touched on that a little bit earlier, but didn't really delve into that too deeply. Are people learning proper things in school, the children?
Sorry, Monica, I lost my train of thought now completely. I apologize. Could you repeat the question?
Well, I guess it's multifold here. The background is that people need to learn some history about South Africa. That's really important, because just like myself, I was so misled about South Africa. I always just thought, oh, South Africa is just one big continent of a whole bunch of black people, and then a bunch of white people went there, and, you know, then we learned how evil apartheid was and all that, which is just nothing but lies, lies, lies. I mean, white people were there first in South Africa. And then, you know, that's the background. And then I was saying that in South Africa itself, earlier somebody mentioned the normies of South Africa, meaning people who are deceived, white people who are deceived even there. Are they getting any schooling that teaches them proper history of South Africa in no. public schools?
No, I can tell you that. No.
No, they're actively taught to hate themselves. There's so many right. cases that we can discuss what, you know, concerning that. That's absolutely, like you said, it gives you chills just hearing these things. And people are baffled by the fact that, you know, there are normies in South Africa, but they shouldn't be, because what people believe is a result of what their leaders communicate to them. And right now, if everybody from the churches is taught to hate themselves. I mean, my dad, yes. which is still in the church, God bless him. Now, I don't believe you should be in the conventional church anymore, because the church has become like this anti-white institution, especially in South Africa. But he's in church, and he's showing me this message from their WhatsApp group. One of his friends sent a message of the white impoverished people in the squatter camps, and where they can help him, or where they people can support them. My dad shows me the message, and then the pastor of their church deletes the message and blocks everybody from being able to post in the group. So that's the attitude that is coming from the spiritual leaders in South Africa. They deny that there is persecution of white people. Even the biggest church, the NG, the Neder-Duits Gereformeerde Kerk, say that we should return the land to the blacks. We should return the land to blacks. So, first and foremost, yes, our people need to be educated. They're not going to yes. be educated through conventional means. That is just, it needs to be understood. Because the conventional means are hijacked by the Jews, and the Jews want us out of here. It's not the blacks that want us out of here. Listen, I have never met a black that can form any coherent, intelligent idea of a day old. So everything that they say is akin to this parrot that's next to me. You know, just because the parrot says it doesn't mean the cat parrot conjured the idea in his mind. He's just repeating what he heard from his master, you know. So,
Johannes, I have a quick question, because we're almost out of time. We in Blood River Radio, we always say we have to know who the enemy is. We have to name the Jew. Let me ask you, what if this Julius Malina guy started, instead of saying, chanting, kill the Boer, what if they started chanting, kill the Jew? Would we find out who the real enemy was then?
Very quickly.
It's like all hell would break loose with the United States coming and bomb y'all, et cetera, et cetera.
Before he even finished his sentence, yes.
I was tempted to hold you over for a segment. I don't think Gene would care. What do you think about that, y'all?
Yeah, I think Gene would love it.
Okay, listen, hey, Johan, would you like to stay over for one more segment? Johan? Are you over again?
Oh, sorry, I was just asking.
Hey, hang on one more segment.
I'm visiting a friend. Okay,
cool. Hey, can you hold on one more segment?